Hey, Alan here.
And the Chris.
And just before the start of this week's episode, we would like to say thank you for listening and also to make you aware that if you enjoy this podcast, there are several other podcasts that we think could enjoy. Firstly, starting with our own podcasts, I present the DCAU podcast with a friend of mine, Rebecca Hart, where we discuss the animated DC movies.
And if you love my dulcet tones, you can hear me on the Turning Heel podcast, a weekly professional wrestling podcast. The Tom Buckle Arms, which is a monthly professional wrestling podcast. Or A Happening In, which is a crime slash ghost slash conspiracies slash weird stories podcast.
Also, if you enjoy a bit of robot combat podcasting and you want to hear some more, thoroughly recommend checking out the Botcast list, the link for which is in the episode description. Finally, before we start this episode, a reminder that Rise of the Robots is protected under a Creative Commons 4.0 International Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. Hello, I'm Alan!
Happy New Year, I am the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are discussing BattleBots Week 9. Of Season 3.0.
You almost got it in one there.
Yay! Well, I've got one more attempt at it, so hooray.
Hooray.
I mean, technically I've got multiple attempts because I could just re-record this multiple times, but I'm not going to because I'm not that professional.
Because we feel the need to bring it up more, that may as well just keep this bit in and just have people slightly laugh at you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not above people laughing at you.
So, after we've already had the heavyweight champion crown, we still have quarterfinals in other divisions to go. So we start off with a lightweight quarterfinal match as Herge Pounder.
No, Pounden.
Capounden.
There you go.
Takes on Dr. Inferno Jr. So it's a rookie versus rank 15. Thwackbot against Saw slash Wedgebot.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what kind of robot would Dr. Inferno be? Dr. Inferno's kind of his own kind of robot.
It's weird, because obviously
close.
We've seen Dr. Inferno Jr. without Little Robot Buddy on top.
Yeah.
Actually, is this the most successful Robotica robot outside of Robotica?
Well, didn't Drillzilla win something in Robot Wars?
Was Drillzilla in? Did Drillzilla actually take part in Robotica?
Pretty sure he did.
What season?
2 or 3.
Well, maybe Drillzilla then. Certainly one of the most successful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at it in the fact that Dr. Inferno Jr. does have like a remote-controlled version of it,
yeah,
like you can put that down to some kind of success.
Absolutely.
People own him.
They actually do a toy advert in, I think it's this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it is literally just a 2 or 3 minute toy commercial.
Buy our stuff, buy our stuff, buy our stuff.
Absolutely.
And you know what? It worked on me 20 years later because I'm promptly got an eBay page up just now going, how much am I willing to spend on this crap?
Absolutely.
I did see, like, at one point, in America, there was somebody that was selling, I think it was like 9 of the BattleBots remote controlled ones, and it was like $350, and then probably like another 100 to ship, and I was like,
So, Dr. Inferno Jr. is the first time we really see the strategy of waiting for a flakbot to wear itself out.
or get stuck.
Yeah, that's one thing. Dr. Inferno Jr., the amount of times Dr. Inferno Jr. keeps catching on the floor
Oh
because its
yeah.
skirts are that low to the ground.
It's just like every couple of seconds it just drives forward and just goes and then all the skirts go.
So, what happens is Dr. Inferno Jr. manages to get quite a few times this strategy of it lets go pound then spin up, wear itself out, and then immediately comes into it, can't spin up again.
Yeah, it
It.
just waits for it to just go, and then it's just like right in.
And at one point, the robots actually have to be separated because Gapandan is stuck on Dr. Inferno Jr. as he's being fed to Killsaw after Killsaw.
Yeah, like just sawing away at the little caster wheels that are on the back of it.
Yeah. And after they're separated, it's clear Dr. Inferno Jr.'s weapons are dead, but
Yeah.
because of the design of Inferno Jr., it's very difficult to actually do damage to it other than the
It's
bit that's
difficult to do
locked.
a lot to it. But because of the skirts and the way that they bend, it's really hard to try and flip it over as well.
And the match ends 27-18 in favor of Dr. Inferno Jr.
Fair enough on that one.
And again, I don't think they break down the judge's decision in that one, but that's fair enough. I can
No.
understand that one.
That one was quite, straightforward.
And then we get the T hyphen middleweight quarterfinal.
The tea party.
The tea party as two rookies, T Minus and T Rex, take on each other.
In the Battle of the Tees, who will be T-mendous? Tremendous?
It's also effectively the Omega 13 team versus the Toro team. So, T Minus is the incredibly powerful flipper. T Rex
Yes,
is the thwackbot with the
just like
really
most
weird
other thwack bots.
angled. It's got the weird angled hammer.
Yeah, which makes it stand out slightly more.
And T Minus just can't get close to T Rex early on.
No,
It just
no.
constantly gets thwacked.
Then the few times it goes for a flip, it barely even gets under T-Rex because T-Rex moves so quickly.
Absolutely. And so the match kind of starts to warm up. T Minus ends up having to reset itself. It does more flipping damage to itself than it does to T-Rex. To T-Rex. And then it conks out, and it looks like the concern seems to be not the robot itself, but the controller. Because
Yeah.
they're actually trying to fix the controller.
Like they take like they've got like this big box and a really like genuine like old school joystick that you would maybe see in like arcades and stuff like that as their controller for T minus, and they just start pulling that box apart, making sure all the wires and everything are connected, and they then say after the fight that they think that just one of the knocks from T-Rex might have just like knocked something loose, and they just couldn't get like the transmitter to the robot anymore.
And yeah, shockingly, T minus goes out in the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Gotta admit, like, didn't see that one coming.
Much like I think both Toro and T minus, I think, underperformed a bit in the competition.
Yeah, I would probably say so.
So,
Especially in the way that they were bigged up on the show as well. Like, they were always implied that they were going to go, like, the distance. And then for them both to, like, kind of peter out at such kind of lower stages, like, was quite a shock.
Absolutely. So we then get on to the final quarterfinal of the entire show. And oh boy, is this one a doozy. So, the third ranked robot, Gamma Raptor, versus Super Mecha Uber Epic Catbot the Third, 2, ranked 6.
I think
I'm
afraid that's Sir, Mr. Super Mecha Beta Mega Omega Kenny Omega Catbot the Third, Esquire.
BSC.
DMD.
So, Gamma Raptor is a flipper bot with a grabbing device at the top, apparently, though we never see it
apparently.
Work.
Apparently. Yep.
Mouse and Mecha Cat Bot is a frisbee with a flipper that's wrong and a tail that does nothing.
Like, Mouser Mecha Catbot's flipper is like one of those videos you see on the internet that's designed purposely to piss you off. Like, when you see, like, someone bring out a pizza and then they cut, like, a massive, like, slice right in the middle of it instead of cutting a pizza. How a pizza is meant to be cut.
It's like when you watch people eat a Kit Kat by biting into the thing.
No. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. Not snapping. It's not how that's supposed to work.
Ironically, is not the angriest that anyone gets about anything in this match.
Oh, no, it's not at all.
So the match doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't light the world on fire, really.
And Mouser Mecha Catbot gets turned over.
Great bit of diving from Gamma Raptor. Caught Mouser in the perfect position.
Absolutely.
Ran it up in screws. The screws just flipped it right over, and then it was right in front of the pulverizer.
And what happens is Mouser and Mecha Catbot, the second that they're over, they go, we're dead. Stop.
Yeah, we're done. Stop.
Now, fair enough, they then have to wait for the 10 count.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I would have thought this is the equivalent of someone throwing in the towel. So I can see why you would maybe go, well, you don't need to do a 10 count, they've quit.
Admittedly, you could hear the ref going, and he was going like double speed.
To try and get it done.
He was like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And once the count is done, after the count is done, the pulverizer still comes down.
Yeah.
And the Mouser Mecha Catbot team are furious.
Like, they're, like, you know, nose to nose with the referee screaming. Every time that hammer hits us, that's about another $100 of damage.
Absolutely.
And the ref's standing there like, mate, this isn't my problem.
Absolutely. But yeah,
so Gamma Raptor wins.
Gamma Raptor wins. As I said, it's more what happens with Mouser Mecha Catbot that I find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We finish. We also see a coolest robot category
award
because Bill Nye has to give awards out every episode here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And the coolest robot award goes to T-.
Mm-hmm.
We also get to see something that I didn't need to see, which is Tenta Mushi being pulverized.
Oh, yes.
And it is.
Like, just beheaded almost.
Yeah. Because it turns out, big hammer versus plastic cover does not end well for the plastic cover.
Bonk. Absolutely. Yeah, also in the category was Crash Test Dummy and Turbo.
Okay.
And Tenta Mushi.
Cool. Those are robots that exist.
They sure were robots. Well, at least Turbo was probably more of a robot. Crash Test Dummy was just plain weird.
I think, by the sound of it, they had a really quite radical weapon system, and then they weren't allowed to use it.
Yeah, I feel like there was a robot that was meant to have something like that in this year's BattleBots, and then like didn't get in or something because of the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's weird because obviously BattleBots, for example, now I don't know when this came in, but BattleBots has never had rules against flamethrowers, mm-hmm. which are obviously illegal in UK robotics.
Yeah, I think that may be in the new seasons that came about, but
yeah,
we'll see in these next two seasons anyway.
Absolutely. Oh, that's one other thing. With this week's BattleBots, the reboot has now been running longer than the original series.
I know. I was thinking that, especially since I've got like the folders on my hard drive of them all, and now like the current season has like one extra folder that the old school one doesn't. And the fact that, like, they already are guaranteed a seventh season because they got kept on for two more seasons. So that being this one that's on now and next season.
I am just glad that they've cut, because there's one season they have 20 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully it's come back down to that 14, 15, 16 for the last few.
Yeah, because that one with 20 weeks was a bit of a slog. And it had stuff like the UK versus USA special. Hey guys, Chris here, and we're just going to take a short break to thank our contributors today. The logo was designed by Greg Watt, and the theme song, which you can hear right now, is TechnoX with their song Master Machine.
Here's an advert for a podcast we think you'll enjoy. I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And if you're listening to this, then we recommend that you check out our podcast, the DCAU Podcast, where we watch the original DC animated movies, starting from Batman Mask of Phantasm and continuing on to Justice League Dark, Apocalypse War, and beyond. And we will cover such heroes as Batman,
Superman,
The Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Victorian Steampunk Batman,
The Flash,
Batman Beyond,
Green Lantern,
Old Man Batman,
Martian Manhunter,
and plenty more versions of Batman.
Lots and lots and lots of Batman.
You can find the DCAU Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else that you can get podcasts by looking up the DCAU Podcast and subscribe today. So, we get our first semi-final of the Super Heavyweight Tournament. And oh boy, am I looking forward to this one. Vladiator versus Dissector. Vladiator's technically a rookie, and Dissector is ranked number 2.
Like the biggest, beefiest of the biggest of beefy BattleBots.
And not only that, there is a chance for vengeance here because Vlad defeated Tazbot.
Mm. Well, let's see if vengeance shall be dished out on this here battle.
Unfortunately, Dissector's facing Goldberg.
Yeah, but like, you know, 1998 Goldberg, back when he was, you know, half decent and not 50 years old.
Because, yeah, Gladiator just... The amount of times that Gladiator hits the wall because it's already charging by the time its opponent gets out the way.
Like, for the most part, Gladiator doesn't turn as a robot. It just goes full pelt into the wall, bounces off the wall, and then goes, right, I guess I'm going this direction now.
And the first major push that it gets on... Because Dissector comes swinging for it, doesn't allow it the space to get up and go. Actually, Gladiator's one of the robots that would be harmed by the shelf, I think.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't give it space to work.
Uh-huh, definitely. Like, these kind of rammer robots are the ones that the shelf is there for.
Exactly. So, I think certainly it's quite clear. The reason the shelf is there is so that you can get a situation like Gigabyte where a spinner doesn't have room to breathe.
Oh, well, I suppose we should actually call it by its technical name. It's actually called the Upper Deck. But, yeah, I get what you're saying.
And, like, yeah, and the first match we're going to show a robot very casually just jump up and down it. No problem.
It was so perfect. It was just like, la 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 la, I've got you, whoop. La 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 la, right back down. It's like, well, the upper deck is completely fucking useless.
It's like going, yeah, let's have the first run of the gauntlet very easily get through it in 10 seconds.
Ah, fantastic. So now we know it's beatable and...
So, Gladiator manages to turn Dissector over, and Dissector's just not as effective once it's upside down.
No. Is it the way that it was built that maybe, like, there's more wheel... What's the word I'm looking for here?
More ground
diameter? Yeah, maybe. More ground clearance, like, on the bottom side when it's meant to be, you know, upright, and so when you flip it over, it's just the same ground clearance isn't there.
Yeah. So, it is quite a close back-and-forth match. Dissector certainly ends the match stronger, and it does get underneath a few times. There's also an awesome moment where Gladiator rams Dissector onto the ramp.
Yeah. There's a good couple of, like, really amazing slams by Gladiator. And then when we get to the judge's decision, the crowd are chanting 3 more minutes, which is one of the most wrestling chants that I've ever heard in my life.
And let's be honest, it's the hottest rookie versus the defending champion.
And yeah.
It reaches the expectations that brings.
Yeah, like, this was a great fun match, like, between the two of them. And as we go into the actual judge's decision, I don't think this could have been much closer.
Well, it's literally about as close as you can go, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's 23-22 is the only closer decision, because it's 24-21. Not that we get a dissection of how that decision's made.
No.
In favour of Gladiator.
Yes.
So, Goldberg is going to the big dance.
It's going to be Goldberg versus Hogan. Oh, yeah. That works perfectly. I'm not
that
gonna
does actually work perfectly.
Yeah, it does.
Especially since they bury it on a minor show and not the season finale.
Yeah, they're just... This is the Nitro instead of the pay-per-view that is the last episode.
And before the next semi-final, we get a toy advert.
Yes, and I watched it again, and now I want more. Give me more.
Okay. We'll move on very quickly. So we've got the number 5 seed, Toro.
Look how many different variations of Biohazard there are.
Versus the number 1 seed, Minion.
Hey, Chris, I don't have any.
Do you know what happens in this match that hasn't happened anywhere else?
What?
Mark Biero actually does rhymes.
Yes! You're right. Because I was pretty thinking about that. It's like, huh, all of a sudden Mark Biero's kind of ring announcing has picked up a little. And it's very Varouk-esque.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, just at the beginning of the season, it was just something just so bizarre.
It's Floodiator!
Today he went to the shops and they had no milk, so he knocked everything off the shelves. It's Toro!
Yeah.
What?
So, this... So we've got two real chunky boys.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the robots.
Chunks.
I mean, I do like it's four robots that all do very different things.
Yeah, it's diverse.
So, Minion's first strike causes the gas canister to burst.
Mm-hmm.
And
perfect.
I'm wondering if they edited out, because I would have thought the gas canister would be a lot bigger.
I feel like for Toro, don't they have like a very low amount of flips that they can get in a match? I feel like that's something they've discussed before, where it's like they can get like 20 flips or something, and like that is not a lot for a 3-minute fight.
And that's, I mean, this is before it really became an issue in other competitions. Because that's the thing is, we're still at the kind of flipper meta point in Robot Wars. We're maybe just getting to the end of that now in the parts that we're covering.
Well, with flippers being the most important...
So at the moment we're at the flipper meta, we then turn into the more of the spinner and crusher meta.
Spinner.
And then we end on the end of the original series, it's the full body hammer meta.
The boring I'm a box meta.
So Minion, it turns into a shover versus a blade, and it becomes very clear that Toro just doesn't seem to be moving as freely, and I actually don't think it can turn by the end of the match.
Yeah, I do feel the same. Like, there was just a couple of points where Toro was just, you know, dragging arse essentially by the end of this thing, and I think it was lucky to get as far along as it did.
And, yeah, so it goes to a judge's decision. Minion wins 27-18. Again, we're not going to break down how that decision was reached.
That's our decision. Deal with it.
Yeah. So we then get our grand final of the number one seed Minion and the hot young rookie Vladiator.
No, it doesn't work. Vlad. There you go, that one works better.
And very early on in the match, Vladiator gets stuck on a spike strip.
Oh my god, the excitement and fear and everything else that you want to put into describing words for this match. But when because the thing is, Vlad comes out like a house on fire, like bouncing all about the place, like, as I say, continuing to do the thing of not deciding to turn, just deciding to go as hard into the wall as possible to try and use that momentum to turn. until it gets stuck up on the spike, and I continue to make the battle bots as like wrestling references, but could this one be any more like
this is wrestling-y? Pro wrestling. This is pure, because you actually see the Minion goes to attack and actually goes, actually no. No, it actually benefits me to just sit and wait. And you can hear Vladiator screeching its tongue, trying desperately. And then, as the count, so the count has started. And on the ninth count,
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4. But you can actually see the ref's trying to count slow as well, because he doesn't want to do it. And then on the ninth count, you see this screech. You see this huge tire mark appear in the where there was once a Vladiator. And suddenly Vladiator is at the other side of the arena.
And the fact that, like, Vladiator's tires are screeching and going so hard on the ground that, like, Vladiator, like, essentially erupts out of a cloud of smoke. And so when the smoke disperses, that's when you see the tire mark that's there where a Vladiator used to be.
And there's a huge pop from the crowd as well. The
crowd can't
believe what's happening. And Minion, from this point onward, just seems to look sluggish. Look, they were just we were actually hoping we had nothing left. We were, that's why we left you alone, because we knew if you got back on your feet, we're fucked.
And then the last of the wrestling references for this match, like, as soon as Vlad comes out, it's almost like he's got the hot tag, and he's coming in, he's bashing and boshing and bouncing all over the place, while Minion just boggles about. Like, I've had that in my notes as well. Like, Minion just doesn't do anything. It's just there to be smacked, essentially.
The match ends with Minion being smashed into the entrance ramp. It catches on the entrance ramp, pulls itself up, and you just see several chains starting to dangle from Minion as it's hanging in the air, quite obviously dead.
Yeah.
And not only that, you actually see Vladiator is almost doing that sort of, you have 10, you know, you have, I have till 5.
Yes, I have till 5.
And the match, so the match ends, and unsurprisingly, when it actually goes to the judge's decision, because Minion did nothing.
Nope.
Vladiator wins 26-19.
Which is why I think it's insane that, like, Minion gets 19 points for practically doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
Like, even before Vlad got himself caught on the spikes, like, Minion didn't really do much then either.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that is the... So, that is the ninth episode. So,
yeah. We've had... So, that's two champions crowned in two absolutely intense, like, genuinely exciting matches. Boy, I cannot wait to see the next two finals. Like, surely they're gonna, like, ramp up this excitement factor up to 11 if these two are gonna be the ones that they're getting out of the way now.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll find out next week.
The hour is good, right? The R is good, right?
time I can't keep a straight face.
Right?
Ow.
Jesus Christ. Don't die.